Welcome to Legacy, a Mom Podcast. I am Tina. I am here with Britt. And we always say, you're always leaving a legacy. Have you thought about yours? How are you doing, Britt?
I'm good. I am running around like a crazy person trying to get ready for this retreat.
I know. I'm so excited.
Everybody.
I know. I'm running around like a crazy person, too, trying to get everything put together. And there's just a lot going on. This has been a big discipline for me of staying focused and trusting God with all the details. And you know He's come through every single time. I don't know why I lay awake at 4 o'clock in the morning going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, like Chicken Little, right?
You can't help it.
There's a lot, but I'm super excited. And really, honestly, pretty much everything is put together, which is really cool. I just picked up some of the last merch and all the fun things, and you guys are going to start flying in on Wednesday and Thursday and all of that, and it'll be good. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you want to know what's funny? I was just thinking today, because I feel I don't know if anyone else can relate to this. I just my mind sometimes goes when I try and get ready for trips where I'm leaving and just me, and I'm thinking of all the things I have to get done, as if nobody is capable of doing basic things around the house. I'm every load of laundry has to be done. The dishes have to be done. Everything has to be clean. The bathrooms have to get cleaned. I literally went as far as I should make muffins. I should have homemade muffins for them while I'm gone. Why? I don't even hardly do that.
That's pretty intense. That's intense.
I just think because I'm my mother-in-law will be here. She might enjoy a muffin in the morning, so maybe I should.
And when you get to my age, I just leave Rod in a lurch. She's here, just make sure everything gets done, and I'll see you when I get back.
I think I'm just so used to it, doing all the things. So,
yeah, it is. It's a hazard of momming, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway. Today on the podcast, we want to talk about how to have a happy Mother's Day. And the reason why we chose this topic is because I remember so many Mother's Days where I was just so disappointed, or my expectations were one thing. And, you know, of course, you expect your spouse or your children to be able to read your mind. It's it's Mother's Day, you know, so there you should do something special for me or whatever. And then you get in your mind I want flowers. Well, then they give you the wrong kind. Or, I don't know, just name it. What about you? Do you struggle? Have you ever struggled with that?
I'm sure I have in the beginning of our marriage. We've been married a long time now. Over a decade. So I, at this point, and especially, you know, you kind of being my mentor as a wife and mother figure, I don't have those expectations. I haven't for a long time because, why? Why am I expecting my husband to think the way that I do? First of all, we're not even the same gender, which is a whole thing in and of itself. We're not the same person. That's just crazy to think that your husband can read your mind. And I feel like as women, we do that so often, in all different areas of life. We just expect them to know what we want.
All the time. All the time. Yeah, we do. It's so funny because I'm just going to throw this little story in there because I think this is funny. So after Rod and I got married, we had this house that, you'll remember, had five levels, right? So it was five half levels, you know, half flights of stairs. And
the first house?
Yes. And the laundry room was in the basement.
I remember. That takes me back to the day where I yelled down the stairs, I hate you. You remember that? You came stomping up those stairs. That is the basement story. I remember that. Yes. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. That's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other podcast. And then I would put the laundry basket with the dirty laundry to go downstairs, right? So whoever went downstairs next, he would step over it. And I finally said to him, honey, why do you step over the laundry basket and not take it downstairs? And he's like, because I don't know if the clothes are coming up or going down. Are they dirty or are they clean? And I'm like, eh, that's a valid point, right? So we were just at Mark and Tanya's last week, and I did a big load of laundry. And I did this to be funny. I set the basket like right in the middle of, you had to literally step over it to get up the stairs. Mm-hmm. He stepped over it and got up, went up the stairs. Like, so, I went upstairs and I said,
lesson learned.
I said, honey, you failed the test. You didn't bring the laundry basket up. And he goes, you know what he said? What laundry basket? He literally had to step over it. And I said, you are killing me right now. I said, that was a test. You failed the test. And now we laugh about it, right? And he said, well, I didn't know you were folding laundry. I said, you were talking to me while I was folding the laundry. And I was like, men just do not, they don't notice this stuff. So that's like my, it's a perfect example of like, we're 28 years in. And he's still stepping over the laundry basket.
Do you want to know what you told me? You taught me this. And like, I know it's like a teaching. I think it's a book or something where men are waffles, women are spaghetti. Like, a lot of people know that teaching.
Yeah.
But it's so true, because like, our minds are going all different directions, thinking about all the things, right?
It's like spaghetti noodles. Everything touches. Yeah.
Yes.
And men are in a box.
Right. And if they're getting up to go do something, they're not going to walk past something and think to go do that other thing and then go do the thing that they were headed to do. They're just going to go do what they were thinking of doing. Men are right. Like, women are like, oh, shoot, let me go over here. That needs to get done. Oh, I just noticed that. And then we get 20 things in deep and we're like, wait, what was I doing to begin with?
Right. Exactly.
Men are kind of smart in that way. Just do what
they are. They stay in the box, right? The waffle box. Right. It's like everything's in its little compartment. And I can see Rod's brain literally scramble when I start throwing other things at him and like trying to multitask.
Troy too.
Even driving the car, multitasking. You know, it's like, no, you are not eating and driving at the same time, you know, because it's overload. And I think this goes back to, it's such a prime example of, you know, we have expectations. Like, I know Mother's Day is coming up, but think about not just Mother's Day, but birthday, Christmas, all the things. And, you know, our husbands are sitting here like they sweat bullets when we leave them on a lurch to do whatever we want, because they know that they can't read our minds. And then there's this huge fear for them that I'm going to try to do something and it's going to be a big fail. Like,
speaking of, let me reference that pairs really well with this book that I read that you gave me. Shocking. It's called For Women Only by Shanti Feldhahn. Is that how you say it?
Feldhahn. Mm-hmm. Feldhahn. Shanti Feldhahn. I'll link it up in the show notes.
Dude, this is literally one of the best books that I have ever read, because I understand men differently in the way that like my husband kind of thinks sometimes. This isn't a book that's like talking about every single man specifically. It's just general overview of kind of how their brain works and how they function. And she does these studies and these tests where she puts out a survey to like a big group of men, like all sorts of men, engineers, football players, you name it. They're all in these surveys. And then she writes down, or she puts in here, what the results were from her questions. And it is, some of them are alarming. You wouldn't believe, like, I was reading through, I'm like, no way. Like, that makes total sense. Like, how could I even think otherwise? Anyways, so I just wanted to give a little insight on what she had to say kind of regarding this topic. Again, like, I highly recommend, I think every single wife should be reading this book, even every woman, because eventually when you get married, like, this is such good, solid information to the point where I want to read it again, just so that I can keep reminding myself. Like,
if you work with men, even, I mean, it's such a good book to do. And it's a great book to do as a group study.
Yes. All right. So In the very beginning, she gives this kind of this chart. And on one side, it talks about our surface understanding. So like men need respect, men are providers, men want more sex, all these things. And then next to that, she gives what that means in practice. So I'm just going to call out one of them that pertains to what we're talking about. And that is, quote, men are insecure. And what she says that means in practice is despite their, quote, in control exterior, men often feel like imposters and are insecure that their inadequacies will be discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there's this whole chapter. It's called Chocolate Flowers Bait Fishing, Why the Reluctant Clod You Know Really Does Want Romance. So this is all about like romance. And then I'm just going to call out a couple of these things that she highlights. So number one, an internal hesitation that they have regarding romance and doing, you know, I don't know, any romantic gesture, especially when we're thinking about Mother's Day, like getting the flowers and whatnot, going out to dinner, all the things that we expect from them. So number one, internal hesitation is I won't do a very good job. So there is a fear that they're going to fail. And then that goes right into number two, which is that they're haunted by romantic failures. And then number three is that it's difficult to change gears. And what she's talking about here is, like, for instance, when they're done with work and they come home and they just want to decompress and like do nothing and not like talk about anything, not talk about how the day went, not talk about the kids, whatever it is, like, they need that transition. They need to decompress before they transition into like family life.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Rod talking about that because when he wasn't working from home, he would drive 30 minutes to and from work. And he appreciated that 30-minute drive home from work because it gave him an opportunity to decompress. So when he walked in the door, he didn't feel bombarded.
Right. Because, I mean, you got to think about it. They've spent all day, like 8+ hours working or whatever their shift is.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot. And I remember even in my working days, like it was a lot. And you just, your brain sometimes, you just, it's like mush by the end of the day. And you just, there's a lot of pressure sometimes. And you just need to decompress from the pressure.
Yes. 100%.
So actually, this is interesting. In one of the survey questions that she put out was, men sometimes have different notions of what is romantic. If you take sex out of the equation, which of the following do you find more romantic for yourself? Choose one answer. First is the traditional notion of a romantic event. For example, a candlelit dinner, a cozy snuggle by the fire, or watching a sunset on the beach. Number two was the idea of getting out and doing things with my wife / significant other and playing together. For example, hiking, golfing, driving around and exploring. So the results were, while almost 60% of the men on the follow-up survey desired the traditional definition of romance, a large minority, almost 40%, said they preferred the active model, like going out and doing things.
Yeah.
So I think that shows us a lot where we might not be in sync with what we think is romantic, what our husbands think are romantic. So we have these expectations and what we think is romantic, what we want. And our husbands are like, that's romantic? Like, that's not.
Yeah.
So why are we having
that's not romantic for me.
And that's setting them up for failure because you're not even on the same page to begin.
Yes, I remember having like Mother's Days or birthdays where I just cried because I was like, oh my gosh, I feel so let down. And you take it so personally. And then I remember there was a video, and I can't remember the name of it, and I'm not even sure it's available anymore, but it was a woman, and she was talking about the differences between men and women. And one of the things she said there is, like, if you want the flowers, ask for the flowers. Like, that's okay.
Just ask.
You know, and I think sometimes if we just give them a plan, men love a plan. And that's what this is what this woman said.
Because you're setting them up for success.
Yes. And you want to set your husbands up for success. And I know I can see the eyes rolling now. Well, they should know. They've been married to me for so long. No, they don't.
They're not women and they're not you.
Exactly. And we need to cut them some grace and cut them some slack in this. And so maybe, you know, Rod a lot of times will ask me, what do you want? And I'll have something in mind, like a piece of jewelry or something. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes yeah. I don't, you know, and I will just tell him. And sometimes I just go shopping on Amazon myself and I'll say, hey, look what you got me for Mother's Day. You know, I mean, I know I actually I've enjoy that. Well, and I wanted, you and I have these little cross necklaces that we wear. And I remember Mother's Day a couple years ago or last year or something like that. And I was like, I want one of those cross necklaces like Brittany has. And he's like, okay, that's a great idea. And like, he loves it because it's like, I have totally like won the lottery here because yeah. I got my wife what she wanted, you know. And then when people are like looking at my necklace, go, oh, that's so pretty. And I can say, oh, my husband got that for me for Mother's Day. Girls, do mm-hmm. not be deceived. I asked for that. Like, you know, right. And I think that's yeah. where we get tripped up. And we look at all of these women who are on social media and they're out there making it all look unrealistic. And don't do that.
Right.
Set your husband up for success in this.
Like, don't get me wrong, there are men out there who are super romantic. Like,
absolutely.
I know, for instance, my dad, he is more geared that way.
Yes, absolutely.
Very much so, where like Troy like he's not geared that way, so like I have to give him ideas or whatever. And he, I mean, that's not to say that in the past he actually has shown up big and was, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, right.
He does. But, you know, there are some men that are just more like that.
Yes.
And that's okay. This isn't like, we're not talking about every single guy is like this, but the majority of men don't think the way that we do. And the other thing I wanted to bring up was when they do make an attempt to do something like a kind gesture or something romantic, if it's not up to our expectations, I think a lot of times we can be so like unkind about
critical.
It and like, oh, critical. Like, yeah, very yeah. critical. That's what I'm looking for. And like, ew, these flowers really, oh, this is cute, but like, why would you get me this? And you like kind of make a joke out of it. But that to them is a serious fail. Like they don't yeah. want to do it again because mm-hmm. they're so afraid that they're going to fail because they haven't met your expectations. And like, that doesn't make them happy.
Right.
So I think like even in the little gestures and them making an effort, we have to affirm that. We really do, because yeah. men, again, aren't like usually, I'm just as generality, aren't usually like wired like that. So like, that is a lot for them to come and make an attempt to like meet your expectations or
yeah.
try to, you know.
It is. It really is. So practically speaking, number one, this changes your legacy because look at the difference it's made in Britt and Troy's marriage. She learned this yeah. early on in her marriage and has implemented it, and they don't struggle when it comes to holidays, Mother's Day, birthdays, and all that kind of stuff because they've learned how to walk together in that. But the other yeah. thing is you teach your daughters this. And then they yeah. grow up and have healthy marriages and understand men right. a little better. And honestly, if you have a teenage daughter, what a great thing to teach her. And there is a book that Shanti also wrote, and I'll link that in the show notes, called For Young Women Only. And
that's good.
Yeah, I got that for Carlene back in the day. And yeah, mm-hmm. it's a really good book. So with that, let's wrap it up with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you give us wisdom. Lord God, I'm so reminded of the verse in Proverbs that says that a wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. And I believe that this is part of it, Lord God. And I pray for each mom that's listening that they would walk with wisdom in this, that they would build their houses up and not tear them down with their own hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.